Welcome to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. Our prayer is that God will use His Word to change your life and fill your heart with hope. And now, here's Ron.
John chapter 16, beginning in verse 25, Jesus says, "I have said these things to you in figures of speech. The hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and going to the Father." His disciples said, "Ah, now you are speaking plainly and not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God." And Jesus answered, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming, indeed it has come, when you will be scattered, each to his own house, and will leave me alone. Yes, I am not alone, for the Father is with me. I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." Well, if you've been with us over the past several weeks, you know we've been going through this section of Scripture known as the Upper Room Discourse. It's a conversation that Jesus had with his disciples on the night before he was crucified. And he's talked about a lot of different things to them. We've covered a lot of different subjects. He was preparing them for the time that he would go to the cross and he would leave them. He would rise from the dead 3 days later. He would ascend to the Father and eventually send the Holy Spirit. And all of this was new to the disciples. They were having a hard time factoring into the equation this idea of their Messiah, their King, their Master, their Lord, dying on a cross of all things. So he covered a lot of different subjects in trying to prepare them for all of this. And the section of Scripture that I just read brings us to the end of chapter 16, which is the end of the things that Jesus said to his disciples. If you include chapter 17 in the Upper Room Discourse, as I do, chapter 17 is how Jesus prays for his disciples. And we're going to talk about that over the next couple of weeks. But what he said to his disciples, we're finishing up this morning. And it shouldn't surprise us that he returns to the subject of peace. Did you see that in verse 33? He says, "I have said these things to you." In one sense, the totality of the Upper Room conversation, but also in particular the verses that I just read, "I have said these things to you that in me you might have peace." Isn't that a wonderful word? Peace. Say that word with me. Peace. Wouldn't you like to have a little peace in your life today? Jesus was, throughout his life, somebody who talked about peace. In fact, from the very beginning, from the time of his birth, we hear the angels singing, "Glory to God in the highest," in Luke chapter 2 and verse 14, "and on earth peace and goodwill toward men." The announcement came at our Savior's birth that he was a peacemaker and a peace giver. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, during his Sermon on the Mount, in that section of a Scripture known as his Beatitudes, you know, the blessed ares, he says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." We've already heard him talk about peace in the upper room. John chapter 14 and verse 27, he says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." Throughout the upper room conversation, Jesus is constantly concerned about the troubled hearts of his disciples. And that should be an encouragement to you and me, because if you brought some troubles with you today, if you brought some things in your life that are stirring up your heart and causing you to lose peace, well, just know that Jesus is concerned about that. He says in chapter 16 and verse 33 there, "I have said these things to you that in me you might have peace." A little bit later in Luke chapter 19, it tells us that when Jesus drew near and saw the city, this is as he was coming to Jerusalem during Passover time, he saw the city and he wept over it, saying, "Would that you, even you, had known on this day the things that make for peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. And then as Jesus goes to the cross and he rises from the dead 3 days later, one of the first things he says to his disciples in those post-resurrection appearances are these simple words. He says, "Peace be with you." So maybe you're here this morning and you're like that person who says, "If I could just have one night of peace, I'd give anything for that." Maybe your heart is troubled right now. As we go into a holiday season, or maybe you're coming out of a time of anything but peace in your life, but when your soul is greatly disturbed, even as Jesus was as he went to the cross, these are words for you and for me here this morning. Peace I give to you, Jesus says. So what I want to do just very simply this morning is walk through these verses and ask the question, how can we have a peace in the midst of tribulation and trouble in our lives? Or why can we assume that we can have that peace? However you want to ask the question in your own life. And I think there are three or four things that we can learn. First of all, we can have this peace because the Father speaks to us plainly. And look at how Jesus introduces this section again. He says in verse 25, "I have said these things to you in figures of speech." Another way to say it is, I've spoken to you up to this point in parables. And Jesus loved to tell parables, didn't he? Stories where he kind of veiled the truth to those who did not believe, but the truth was clear to those who were believing or coming to believe. And oftentimes, he had to explain his parables to his disciples. But he says, now is the time when I'm not going to speak to you in parables anymore. I'm going to speak plainly to you. He says, the hour is coming, and that hour was now. It was right around the corner as he goes to the cross. He says, the hour is coming when I will no longer speak to you in figures of speech or parables, but will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say to you that I will ask the Father on your behalf. And in other words, you don't have to go through me to get to the Father. I'm going to make a way for you to have direct access to the Father, and where you and the Father can have a plain, wide-open, understandable conversation here. In that day you will ask in my name, and I do not say that I will ask the Father on your behalf, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from the Father. I came from the Father and have come into the world, and now I am leaving the world and I am going to the Father. Jesus couldn't have spoken more plainly to them. And I don't know about you, but when I'm experiencing a troubled time and when my spirit is in turmoil, I need some plain-spoken language from the Father, don't you? And it reminds me of a verse of Scripture found in the book of Hebrews. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 1. And you got to ask the question, even as we pose this idea about the Father speaking plainly to us, is God still speaking today? And the writer of Hebrews says in no uncertain terms, he says, long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. And you say, well, is he still doing that today? We know that God spoke in years past through dreams and directly to prophets and in other ways, but is he speaking to us plainly today? Well, the writer of Hebrews goes on to say, but in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. Is God speaking to us today? You better believe he is. But he says in these last days, he's speaking to us through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, you can't have a relationship with God apart from Jesus, and you can't hear the plain spoken words of God apart from his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, another way for us to hear the plain-spoken word of God is to make sure that our ears are attuned to the voice of God. It's one thing to be in relationship with him through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that puts you in the category of a friend of God who will speak plainly to us through his Son, the living Word, and through this book we call the Bible, the written Word. But also our ears are attuned to the voice of God as we walk in fellowship with him. We have the Spirit of God living inside of us. And our spirit and the Spirit of God witness to one another. And God speaks to us not only through his Son, the living Word, and through this book, the Bible, the written Word, which is why we need to be in the Word and let the Word of God speak to our hearts. But he also speaks to us through those inner promptings of the Spirit, right? And you say, oh, Pastor, that's kind of strange. I don't know if that's kind of out there in the la-la land somewhere. But no, he does. The Spirit of God gives witness to our spirit, never in contrary to the Word of God, and always in concert with the Son of God and the Spirit of God and the Father in concert speaking to us together. But he does speak to us through those inner promptings of the Spirit. He speaks to us sometimes through the wise counsel of godly friends. He speaks to us through circumstances. And these are all the ways that the Father is speaking plainly to us. Sometimes, though, our ears are all plugged up with things and we can't hear the voice of God because we're not spending time to get alone with him. But Jesus says, now is the time and the hour is coming, and we're living in that time, we're living in that hour where the Father has spoken and is speaking plainly to us, even in the midst of the trouble that you're going through right now. So the question is, are you leaning into that, and are you getting your ears attuned to the Father? Unconfessed sin has a way of clogging up our spiritual ears, doesn't it? It breaks our fellowship with the Lord so we can't hear his voice clearly. But as we have the Spirit of God living inside of us through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and as we're walking in fellowship with him, even in the midst of troubled times, we ought to be able to hear the plain spoken language of the Lord. He primarily speaks to us through his word, friends. So don't ever go looking for a word from God or for the plain spoken word of God apart from time in the word. If you're looking for a word from God and you're not spending time reading his word, you're going to end up in some place you don't want to be. But as you spend time in his word and as you let his thoughts saturate your heart and your mind, you'll get the answer for what troubles your heart today. So the first reason we can have this peace in the midst of the storm, in the midst of trouble, is because the Father is speaking into our life, and we just need to tune our ears to that. By the way, Jesus said earlier in the sermon, or in the Upper Room Discourse here, he says, my peace I give to you is not the peace that the world gives. What is the kind of peace that the world gives? It's the absence of turmoil. And I love that Jesus is a realist, and he never tells his disciples, you're going to just walk on a bed of thornless roses in this life. No, there's going to be trouble, there's going to be tribulation. Oh, there's coming a day where there will be no war and there will be no turmoil and there will be peace on earth. It'll be a day when the Son of God and our Savior reigns on this earth, and he takes the swords and turns them into plowshares and the spears into pruning hooks. There's coming a day when that kind of peace on earth will take place. But right now, we still live in a fallen world, in a troubled world. And Jesus wants us to experience, if you can imagine this, peace. Peace in the midst of all of that. And one way is when we hear the plain spoken word of God from the Father. The second is when our faith is rock solid. And listen to what the disciples say here in verses 29 and following. The disciples hear this from Jesus, and they say, okay, now you're speaking to us plainly, and you're not using figurative speech. Now we know that you know all things and do not need anyone to question you. This is why we believe that you came from God. It's like the disciples were having an aha experience all of a sudden. Now, it's not that Jesus hadn't been speaking to them plainly up to this point. In fact, all throughout the upper room conversation, he's trying to help them understand, I'm going to the cross, I'm going to rise 3 days later, I'm going back to the Father, I'm going to send the Spirit. And they still did not have a category in their hearts and in their minds for a Savior that would go to a cross. That was just unheard of to them. So it's not that he hadn't been speaking plainly to them up to this point, but now all of a sudden they go, oh, now we get it, Jesus. And it's as though some of them crossed over a threshold of faith and their blind spiritual eyes were opened up. You ever had that experience? Maybe you've had the experience of reading the Bible and saying, man, it doesn't mean anything to me. I can't understand it. Then the Spirit of God comes to live inside of you through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you say, well, somebody must have rewrote this book because now it begins to make some sense to me. And it's that experience of crossing the threshold of faith. For some of the disciples here, and it's spoken of in the collective here, they now get it. They now get it. Their faith is rock solid. They possess it personally, we might say. And friends, you got to possess this faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, not just an intellectual way where you know about Jesus, but where you personally have come to the cross as a sinner who needs a Savior, and you've given your life to Christ. Has that happened for you? And have you had that aha experience where you go from spiritual darkness to spiritual light, and now your faith is not something that is external and something that you kind of go through the motions on and check the boxes of spiritual activity, like going to church and maybe praying and reading your Bible once in a while when you're in trouble, but to where you have a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and your faith is on rock solid ground, so that when you go through a troubled time, you have a friend you can go to who will speak plainly to you. The third thing that I pick up here is that Jesus believes in us in spite of our failures. And this is good to know when we're facing troubled times. Listen to what he says to him in verse 31. It says, Jesus answered them, "Do you now believe? Behold, the hour is coming indeed. It has come when you will be scattered, each to his own home, and you will leave me alone. Yet I am not alone, for the Father is with me." I mean, just about the time they, patting themselves on the back a little bit, we get it now, Jesus. We believe in you. We don't have to ask you any questions. You've spoken to us plainly. We get it. We've crossed the threshold of faith. Just about the time they pat themselves on the back, he says, oh, you believe now? Now let me tell you what's going to happen. Y'all are going to run away from me. Prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, right? You're going to scatter. You're going to fumble the ball. You're going to fail. And that's okay. I've factored that into the equation here. Because when you leave, when you depart from me, when you abandon me, I'm really not alone because the Father is with me. I love that. Jesus and the Father and the mystery of the Trinity there is a crowd. And even though he goes to the cross very lonely, he says, even though you've departed me, even though you failed me and you fumbled the ball here, the Father is still with me. I love the fact, though, that Jesus tells the disciples here, you're going to fail me. And I know that. And I factored that into my plan here. Because I can identify greatly with the disciples here. I fail him. I fumble the ball. I don't always do what he tells me to do. And we can all identify with that. And we think, well, how can God use somebody who messes up as much as I do? Well, it doesn't depend on you and depend on me. In fact, he's going to put his Spirit inside of us. But he still uses us in spite of ourselves. He still believes in us in spite of ourselves, because his kingdom plan doesn't depend on us, but he invites us to come along with him. I don't know about you, but I find that encouraging, especially when I'm going through a troubled time and a difficult time, and I'm scratching my head and I'm wondering, God, what in the world are you doing here? And Lord, I don't deserve anything good that you've given, because I failed you again yesterday. Here we are again, Lord, and I fail, I fumble, I foil the plan, and yet somehow your kingdom agenda marches on and you still choose to use me. Think about how he used the disciples to launch the early church, despite the fact that they all abandoned him. And he told them, okay, you believe, but you're going to fail me. But I still believe enough in you to go back to the Father and send the Spirit to indwell you. And that's the plan, and it's going to work. Even though it's three steps forward and two steps backwards from your point of view, from my point of view, Jesus says, this is how it was meant to be. I like how the writer of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, says, I believe, to the Corinthians, that we are like jars of clay, broken, cracked jars of clay through which the glory of God shines. That's how we do life, and that's how we do ministry. In all of my failures, in all of my fumbles, in all of my, Lord, I promised you I would never do again, we are cracked jars of earthenware. And the glory of God, for some reason, decides to indwell us. And it's through those cracks that the glory of God shines. That's just phenomenal to my thinking, to my way of thinking. Because if I were Jesus, I'd look for the most successful people. you know, to carry out my mission. But he uses the disciples here. And then fourthly, in the midst of trials and difficulties and troubled times when we need peace in our hearts, here's something that we need to cling to, and that is the fact that Jesus guarantees the victory. Okay? He says in verse 33, I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. And then he says these incredible words, in the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Again, there's coming a time when there will be peace on earth and goodwill toward men, and Jesus will rule and reign on this earth, and there will be no more wars and rumors of wars. That's in the eschatological future, prophecy yet to be fulfilled. But right now, in the nasty here and now, not in the sweet by and by, but in the nasty here and now, we live in a fallen world where there's trouble and there's difficulty and there's trials. And some of you are right in the midst of them right now. And you're wondering, how can I have peace in the midst of that? Jesus says, in this world, I love the realistic nature of him. He's a realist. And he says, in this world, you will have difficulty. Don't be surprised by it. But I have overcome the world. I want you to imagine in your mind a football coach who's speaking to his team at halftime. And the team is down 48 to nothing. And they're all beaten up and bruised and battered and discouraged and frustrated. They've already got defeat on their minds. And the coach comes into that locker room, and rather than just laying them low, he's talking about victory. He's talking about winning the championship. And the team's sitting there thinking to themselves, Coach, you've lost one. We're down 48 to nothing, and you're talking about victory? You're talking about a championship? But what the team didn't realize was the coach knows something they don't know. And they go into the second half, and they just annihilate the opponent, and they win the game. And that simple analogy is sort of like how Jesus is speaking to the disciples here in the upper room. I mean, it's halftime, as it were. And in their minds, Jesus is going to the cross, and they're defeated, and they're dejected, and they can't think of anything but loss, because they're going to lose their master and their savior and their Lord, and they're down 48 to nothing. And Jesus is talking about victory here. He says, you're going to have trouble in this world, but I have overcome the world. What are you talking about, Jesus? You're going to a cross. They're going to kill you. But he knows something they don't know, even though he's been trying to tell them all along. I'm going to the cross. That's just the way the Father meant it to be. But what they can't factor in their minds is 3 days later, he'll rise from the dead and he'll declare victory over sin and death. And that victory is something that you and I share in. As I was thinking about that this week, I thought for myself and perhaps for you this morning, it's been a long time since some of you have thought like a champion, the champion that you are in Christ. And for some reason, the devil has spoken into your life, maybe in the troubled times that you're experiencing right now, defeat and despondency and despair, and you're not thinking like a champion. You're not thinking like a victor. You're thinking like somebody who's going to score a loss in the loss column because of what you're going through right now. And friends, the only way to have peace in the midst of troubles and storms, no matter the source of those, is to begin once again thinking like a champion. And the way to do that is you got to think God's thoughts. You got to think his thoughts. And the way to do that is to first to saturate your mind with this letter that he has written to you, the plain spoken word of God. You can't read this book without learning to think like a champion, to think like an overcomer, to think like somebody who has already won the victory, even though the circumstances you find yourself in right now feel like you're down 48 to nothing, and there's no way you're ever going to win the game. I know people who look at our culture today that's in serious decline. They look at the political landscape and others, and they talk like a defeatist rather than the champions and the victors that we are. Oh, I know that's in the sweet by and by for some of you. But what about here in the nasty here and now? Is there a victory that God has for you and has for me? Can we really begin to think and to act and to step out in faith like the champions we really are? Think about what Jesus is doing here. This is the last opportunity he has to speak to them, like that coach at halftime. He's got one more opportunity to encourage them and send them out onto the playing field for the third and fourth quarter and win the ball game. And the coach knows something the team doesn't. And so he speaks victory language into them. I like the words of the Apostle Paul. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I don't know what it's going to take for you or for me to begin thinking like a champion, to begin stepping out in faith like a champion, to begin believing God for the victories that have been hard coming in your life, maybe over a particular besetting sin or in a financial area or a victory in your family life. But Jesus is the champion. He's singing, "We are the champions." And here he is on the night before he's crucified, really just hours away from that. And the disciples are just so overtaken with a sense of defeat. They've invested all of their lives into this the past 3 years, and he's going to the cross. They're thinking it's over. Peter's probably already processing in his mind, what am I going to do? I guess I'll go back to fishing again. And you fast forward in the Gospels, and you find that he tries that, and he fails at that, and the champion comes back into his life and speaks victory into his heart again. Some of us need that this morning. Your pastor needs that this morning. I need it every day because I get a constant dose of negativity and defeatism coming at me through the voices of the world that are pronouncing doom and gloom. And there should be nobody in this world that thinks and acts and believes more like the champions that we are than Christians. Oh, that would be part of our language and part of our forward thinking and just the way we do life and the way we orient ourselves to life. Listen to the words of Jesus again. I've said these things to you that in me you may have peace, a peace that the world doesn't know, a peace that passes all understanding. When you're in the midst of troubled times and difficult times, you're at peace. In this world you'll have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. I won the victory for you. So think like a champion. Think like the victor that you are. Real quickly, there are two kinds of peace in the Bible. There's a vertical peace known as peace with God. You know where that's found? Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Just turn there with me real quickly. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, if you haven't committed that verse of Scripture to memory, I encourage you to do that in the very near future. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Somebody once said that word justified means just as if you've never sinned. It also means just as if you've always obeyed. In other words, when you're right with God through faith in Christ, he looks at you and he looks at me and he says, you know, it's just as if this guy never sinned. I've justified him. I've made him, declared him to be right in my sight. But it's also just as if you've always obeyed. You've never failed. You've never fumbled. You see, God sees you and he sees me as the victors and the champions that we really are in Christ, despite our failures and despite our fumbles. That's peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you've never met Christ at the cross, you're not at peace with God, you're his enemy. That's the context of Romans chapters 4 and 5 here. You're still at enmity, you're at war with God. So be at peace with him through the Lord Jesus Christ. He negotiated the peace treaty at the cross, and you can have peace with God and be justified in his eyes, just as though you've never sinned, just as though you've always obeyed, to see you as the champion and the victor that you are. And then there's a vertical peace the Bible talks about. This is a peace in the midst of our storms and our trials and difficulties in life. Philippians chapter 4 and verses 6 and 7, the Apostle Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God. Pay attention to the prepositions there. We had peace with God, that's vertical. Now the peace of God, this is horizontal. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a peace, friends, the world does not know. This is a peace that will leave your friends and your neighbors and your family members and coworkers sort of scratching their head and saying, how can you be at peace, a tranquil peace in your hearts when you're going through what you're going through? It's because I'm beginning to believe who I am in Christ. I'm the champion that he says I am. I'm justified in his eyes. I have peace with God. And now I can have a peace that passes all understanding. You want that kind of peace today, friend? Come to faith in Christ if you haven't already done that. And then put on your listening ears, listen to the plain spoken word of God, and understand that he believes in you more than perhaps you believe in yourself. And he sees you as the champion and the victor that you really are. Begin to live that way. Begin to allow that truth to sink into your heart in a way that it transforms you from the inside out. And the peace of God will begin to flow in your life and in my life. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you for the plain spokenness of it, the clarity of it. Thank you for the simple words that Jesus spoke to his disciples that speak to our hearts this morning. Father, every one of us in this room desires peace, that experience of peace. And I pray for anybody here who does not have peace with God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that today would be a day of salvation. But for all of us who perhaps do, may this also be a day when we experience the peace of God in our troubled times, in our difficult times, in those times when we wake up in the middle of the night and we're not quite sure how everything's going to work out. I pray that you'd flood our hearts with peace. Lord, help us to think like the champions we really are in Christ, even though it may look like all the circumstance around us speak of defeat and despondency. Lord, just speak clearly to us this morning in a way that transforms our personal experience today and makes us walk out of this place changed people. And I pray this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.
You've been listening to the Bible teaching ministry of Dr. Ron Jones. For a complete online catalog of Ron's audio resources, visit ronjonesministries.com. Thanks for listening.